But when you fast and he doesn't move, there is a problem. So every time you subject yourself to a fast, we are not blackmailing God, but we are positioning ourselves. Amen?
Amen.
We're positioning ourselves for an outpour. We are opening ourselves up completely. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I read a story of a man, one of the generals of revival, and he was saying that the longest fast he's ever taken was 3 days. This was a man who would create car engines. There was a time he was traveling and he had a knock in his engine and he said, I need a new engine. So he said, engine, let there be an engine. And a new engine was made. We're not talking about creation, blood, and we're talking about metals. Talking about metals, yeah? Let there be an engine, and an engine was made. He went hunting and there was no animal to hunt. And he said, what will I take back to my wife? And he said, let there be a squirrel. A squirrel came. A man who has fasted, has only fasted for how many days?
3 days.
How many days have you fasted in January? I am still fasting from January up to now. You get the point? You get the point? There are dimensions. There are levels to this thing. Amen. Just fasting does not subject you to a level. It doesn't bring you to a dimension. When you just fast, it does nothing. It does nothing. There are people who are fasting every day because they don't have food and they pray. But there's a knowledge that we are acquiring. There is a privilege that we have, amen, that is bringing us into dimensions that when we do spiritual acts, that we do physical acts, they metamorph things. They create things. Amen.
Amen.
Our fasting begins tomorrow. This is what we are praying for the first week. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 16. Mumbo, please note this down carefully so that you can update the people who are not here on our group, alright? Isaiah 60. Our first thing we will be praying for presence night. And this is what we will be praying for. You want Isaiah 60? Can someone read it for me?
Arise,
shine. Wow, there we go. Don't use smallest voice. Go.
Arise, shine. For the light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee.
Mm-hmm.
For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth,
mm-hmm,
and gross darkness the people.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord shall arise upon thee,
mm-hmm,
and his glory shall proceed upon thee.
Mm-hmm.
And the Gentiles shall, mm-hmm, come to thy light, and, mm-hmm, kings to the brightness of thy rising.
Hold on. That is our key verse. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the light of thy rising.
Amen.
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 We are not interested in people who go to church. We are only interested in Gentiles and kings.
Sure.
So this is our prayer for presence night, that we will arise, that our light will shine, that Gentiles will come to our light and kings will come to the rising of our light.
Amen.
You know why? Gentiles and kings represent two facets of a dimension of evangelism that the church has evaded for so long. It is called influence. When you have the Gentiles and the kings, you have influence over humanity. Okay? Let me tell you, Gentiles, you are not going to find a biashara ya pombe, a biashara ya club, okay? Clubs, imejaa kuliko kanisa. If the Gentiles come to our rising, then you do the math. Okay? Okay? All right? Gentiles, ni your secular artists who fill up stadiums when they do concerts. If those people come to our light, it says gross darkness will cover the earth, but the Lord will. There is already darkness. But we are praying that God will shine a light on this congregation, on this gathering, on this family, on this fold, and that Gentiles will come to our rising and kings to the rising of our light. Amen. There is a distinction that we are praying for. There is a distinction that we are praying for. All right. Second thing we'll be praying for this week will be the restructuring of his church. We will pray that we become... Okay, we're praying for the restructuring of his church with truth being the agent. We'll be praying for the restructuring of his church with truth being the agent of restructuring being truth. We read it from John 16:13.
John 16:13.
Mm-hmm.
But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come.
Okay, so when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. As I read it, if my English teacher was correct, it means that truth is a destination, truth is a dimension, truth is something you enter into. Okay? Truth is something you enter into. For if he guides me into all truth, that means that truth is structured and has an opening for me to enter into. So, we remember what we are teaching from last week, the reunion with the Holy Spirit. So when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. And then it says what?
For he shall not speak of himself.
He will not speak of himself.
But whatsoever he shall hear.
Whatsoever he shall hear.
That he shall speak.
That he shall speak.
And he will show you things to come.
And he will show you things to come. The blindness of the prophetic is an absence of truth. I will say that again. The blindness, the absence of the prophetic is an the blindness of a prophet of the prophetic is the absence, is an absence of truth. Because if he, the Spirit of truth, is to come, he will guide us into all truth. And when he has guided us into all truth, he will show us of things to come. Things to come are seen by the prophetic. So every time there is no prophetic, then there is no truth. Restructuring the church, restructuring his church with truth being the agent. That is one thing we will be praying for again this week. Amen. So know you are an apostle this week. Know you are an apostle. Apostles clear the furrow. Apostles dig out the apostles. Ni wale wanapeonga shamba inamea miti wanaambiwa wapande mahindi. So lazima wakuje wafieke. You get what I'm saying? So because restructuring needs the apostolic grace. Amen. We're going to pray for distinction. Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45, let's go.
This is what the Lord says to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I take hold of to subdue nations before him and to strip kings of their armor, to open doors before him so that gates will not be shut.
Go on.
I will go before you. Level the mountains, I will break down gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name. For For the sake of Jacob, my servant, of Israel, my chosen, I summon you by name and bestow on you a title of honor, okay. Though you do not.
Okay. So this is what we will be praying for. The distinction that we will be praying for comes in the form of, he will break the gates of bronze, he will break the bars of iron, he will give to us the treasures of darkness and the riches of the secret places. When you get, there is a treasure that when you get, it must signify you being summoned by name. There are those that when you break or are broken for you, when you come in, they say you have come in the name of the Lord. This one, the Lord knows. This one, the Lord summons by name. God tells Aaron, Moses, I speak to him face to face. He refers to him by his first name. There are people God doesn't call my son. There are people God says Moses. There are people who say, I summon him. Like when I call for him, I don't say, go call my son. No, go call Cyrus the king. There are members of church and then there are men of God. This is Pastor so-and-so and then this is man of God, Pastor so-and-so. There is a distinction that we are praying for, that we must be known for. That when we enter into spaces, they know that these people come from a different region of the dimensions we have been given. We are praying for a distinction. There is no problem in being distinct. There is no problem in being peculiar. In fact, we are already a peculiar nation, but some people don't want to take the peculiarity of what we are. So we will take it. Amen.
Amen.
So what are we praying for?
Distinction.
We are praying for the restructuring of the church with truth, being by truth being the agent. And then we are praying for presence night. And then we are praying, as we pray for presence night, we will pray for the rising, for the Gentiles coming to our light and the kings coming to the rising of our light. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
I wish you all the best in the journey. As you undertake the journey, I wish you all the best. I wish you all the best. There are instructions of how we should fast that I will not go into. If you don't have those instructions, please go. They are posted on the group. So I'm just telling you to do it. The instructions there. Are you in our group? Are you? Have you been added? Can someone help me? Can someone help Shadrach too? Anyone else who's not in the group and wants to pray? You want to pray with us, Kanu? To talk to after prayer. Can add Caleb too, so that we just get to pray. Once we are done and you feel like you're free to leave the group, we will not condemn you. Okay, that is for Caleb. Are we ready for the word? Are we ready for the word? Are we ready for the word? Amen. We were talking about the reunion with the Holy Spirit, and I want us to continue the reunion with the Holy Spirit. We looked at how important the body is, and we said how prophetic your body, your physical body, your physical human body that rots when it's put on the ground, all that that has pimples and whatnot and all those things. How the body is a prophetic illustration of what is called the body of Christ, which is the church. Remember?
Yes.
Come on, I want you to be active. Do you remember?
Yes.
And we say that there is a bigger function for the human body than just to sleep and carry the spirit. Okay? We also went ahead to say that man is body, man is soul, man is spirit. Man is spirit, man is soul, man is body. Amen.
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 And that when God created Adam, there was a symbiotic relationship between his spirit and his body, that his spirit would overshadow his body and his body would overshadow his spirit. There was an interchangeable working relationship between the spirit and the body. When the body needed the spirit to take charge, the spirit would take charge. And when the spirit needed the body to take charge, then the body would take charge. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And every time you think of yourself as a person, remember that you are a prophetic illustration of what the church should be and look like. If the church is the body of Christ, then the body of Christ has been written in scripture, and we know what the body of Christ looked like, and the body of Christ looked like you and I. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. There is a space that we come into where we are transfigured. Where we are transfigured, that the physical realities that we experience are transfigured into a spiritual reality, and there needs to be no difference. Differentiation between the physical and the spirit when a man has grown in the fullness, in the perfectness of who he is supposed to be. Amen?
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? I don't. So, there is a representation. No, there's an interesting relationship and a partnership between the body and the Holy Spirit. There's a very interesting relationship between the body and the spirit. Even the human spirit has an interesting relationship with the human body. When you get born again, the human spirit and the spirit of God become one. I'm thinking of whether to say it. Thinking of whether to say it. There is a place that we need to get. We can either get there now or wait for the second coming of Jesus to get there. The place where the human body, your body, becomes one with the body of Christ. Just as your spirit has become one with the Holy Spirit. We can either get there now or wait for the second coming of Christ to get there. But the things, the capability, the ability, the capacity has been given to us. Scripture says that if the spirit who raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, then he will quicken your mortal body. The quickening of the body, the quickening of the mortal body by the spirit has the ability to eradicate the mortality of the body. And once the body has been eradicated from mortality, then we move into a space of immortality. So we can either begin to get there now or wait for the coming of Christ and get there then. But the things, let's just get there now and call it a miracle. But the nature of man, the original, the destined nature of man, the foreknowledge nature of man, was that man was not to suffer mortality. Man was not to come to the place of death. Man was not to come to the place of aging. Man was not to come to the place of wrinkles. And repentance means going back to the top. Repentance means going back to where you were. So where we were is the place of immortality.
It's the place of eternity. And because we have already repented, there needs to be the relationship of the body and the spirit needs to come back to its original place, that we begin to experience immortality. When I speak of this, I speak literally for us, and I speak prophetically for the body of Christ.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? Because when we begin to believe in certain concepts of the word that are foreign, that are controversial, that don't make sense, that we cannot prove, then we begin to bring closer the church to its place of authority and its place of dominion. Because the place of dominion of Christ is a place where dominion is not brought to an end by mere death. In fact, our biggest problem is not death, because death has been conquered. Our biggest problem is time. Our biggest problem is time. What makes people say you are 28 years old is your biggest problem. What makes people say you are 14 years old is your biggest problem. Because if we begin to step into the realm of eternity, then time is not of question. And in eternity, people, things don't age. God is neither a billion years old, neither is he 1 year old. He lives in eternity. You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? You cannot quantify time in the dimension of eternity. And the dimension of eternity is where we come from. But eternity has been brought to us by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the significance of eternity in a realm where it is governed by time. How many have ever seen a vision? Nani wa mwari, wa mwari yona kitu wenye ija happen, alafika happen. Let's not call it a vision. Labda uliona, ule msiane na kuteguka, alafu, kabla urealize kateguka. Like, uko naona naenda kuteguka, but nikani maono umeanguka, alafu, boop, umeanguka. Nani wa yona kitu wenye. Okay, let me explain it better. How many have entered into a moment and realized, wow, this sound, this looks so familiar to me. It is called, we call it deja vu.
Yeah.
Jesse, you've seen a deja vu before? Like you entered into a space or had a conversation and then, mandela sikia katu mwa yongi lay story. Yeah? That is an example of you having memories. You know what memories are?
Yeah.
Memories are experience stored in the mind. So when you have a deja vu, it means that you've had the experience, but now you are recalling. Prophecy is basically that. Prophecy is getting back in time and getting. So there is an ability to live in the constant place of eternity called now. Now is just now. Now is now. 20 years ago is now. In 30 years to come, it is still
now.
In 30 years, when someone who is my age, who will not believe in what I believe, will be 60 years old, but I will still be now.
Now.
Now. How old are you?
Now.
I'm just now old. You cannot even say years old, because years signifies the relationship between the spirit and the body is to bring us to that space where the body begins to experience spiritual realities, because the spirit has found an expression in you. The spirit has found an expression in you. So the spirit is experiencing physical realities. The spirit in you, on you, upon you, is experiencing physical realities because he has found an expression on you. The vice versa needs to happen. that the physical realities that you, the physicality that you have, begin to need to have spiritual expression so that the physical can experience spiritual realities. When I talk about this, I'm talking about miracles. I'm talking about stretching out people's legs, people whose limbs have been cut on the knees, and you begin to speak the spirit to them, and because the spirit has found expression and your physical has found expression, then the physical begins to find an expression of the spiritual, where nothing decays, nothing is cut, nothing, and things are brought back into being. Let me explain it again. The Spirit of God has found expression in you. So the Spirit of God, being spiritual, is restricted to the realm of the Spirit until it finds a physical body to find a physical reality. And this goes for any spirit. This goes for any spirit. Once the spirit of a human being is placed in a physical being, then the spirit of a human being begins to experience physical realities because it has found expression in a body. Ukichukua doli, unaona doli, doli. Na ufanye hivi, receive life. Now you receive life, meaning that a spirit comes from you and into the doli. Then the spirit begins to have a physical expression through the doli. God alichukua matope akaumba doli. And then he breathed into it. He breathed the spirit into the being. So the spirit began to have physical realities. A spiritual being found a physical expression in a body and began to have spiritual realities. Come on, come on. Nod your head, nod your head, nod your head. Thank you, thank you, thank you. These are things beyond our age. These are things beyond our age, but we will just teach points, yeah? We just teach them and then check up ourselves later, okay? So that the being was dead, but the spirit entered into it and it gave it life. Okay? So the spirit began to experience a physical reality. So kuna nyama choma inakula. So spirit inajua, kumbe nyama choma inaonjanga hivi. Kumbe maji inaonja hivi. Kumbe juice inaonja hivi. So the spirit began to have physical realities because it found expression in a physical being. Without the physical being, then the spirit does not have physical realities. Physical realities ni nini? Kipigwa kofi unasikia uchungu. Ukikunywa chai kama ni moto inakuchoma ulimi. That's a physical reality. So the spirit begins to experience physical realities because it has found expression in a physical being. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
You get what I'm saying? Okay? There's a cow spirit. There's a cow spirit. Like kuna spirit ya ng'ombe. Everything physical that lives has, because it's spirit that carries life. Don't overthink it. Don't overthink it. Usiende uko kwa altars, usiende uko kwa house. Don't overthink it. Don't overthink it. Life is carried by the spirit, period. Life is carried by the spirit, period. Okay? Don't overthink it. Don't takwaribu. So the spirit of God, the human spirit, every other spirit, for it to have physical realities, it has to get onto a body. So there is a special relationship between a spirit and a body. Unajua mapepo zinaingianga ng'ombe zinakuja zinabomoa zinakula shamba yako zinakufrustrate. For example, Yesu alifanya nini zile nguruwe? Because every spirit is looking for a body to find expression. Every spirit is looking for a body to find expression. Because they can only find expression in the physical realm through a physical entity. I say this without fear, without every spirit, including the spirit of God. Okay? Okay? So, what we are lacking, or what we have lacked for a while, is the understanding of the vice versa of the spirit finding expression in the physical being. So every physical being can find expression in the spirit once it wears a spirit. So, because I have the spirit of God, for my body and my physicality to experience physical spiritual realities, I have to find expression in the spirit that I carry. In the spirit, there is no time. There is no distance. Okay? So for my body to experience no time and no distance, if I want to step into Sudan, I have to find expression in the spirit. In the spirit, there are no cancers. So if I meet a person with a cancer and I want their body to experience a spiritual reality, then I have to invoke the expression of the spirit. In the spirit, hakuna viwete, hakuna polio. Nikipata mtu wako na polio, for them to be healed, it is their body finding expression in the spirit. And their physical begins to have a physical, spiritual reality, because their physical has found an expression in the spirit. Our expression in the spirit is the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit blocks us out from corruption. Because the spiritual realm has good and has bad. It has good and evil, good and evil, good and evil. You can enter into the spiritual realm, but if it is not via the Holy Spirit, then you expose your physicality and your spirit, your human weak spirit, to evil. That is why akuja apewe man. Ile siku anakufa, boils ndo zinamuua. Why? Because they found a spiritual reality. They found a spirit to express physicality in. But because it was not the Holy Spirit, it exposed them to the vices that are there in the spirit. So unapata physical reality, nyakua nakafuta ni do, amepata do mingi. Lakini the physical reality, nyakua nakafuta ni do. Amepata pesa mingi. Kwa sababu in the spirit there is wealth. In the spirit there is riches. There is abundance in the spirit. It doesn't matter what spirit it is. There is abundance in the spirit. There is provision in the spirit. But because they found a negative spirit to express themselves in, they found the riches of the spirit, but they were exposed to the negativity, the corruption of the spiritual realm. So our way of safety for finding expression in the spirit is the Holy Spirit. So it is not just about translocation. It is not just about healings and miracles. It is about finding expression in the spirit. It is not about making my hand disappear and appear. It is not about me walking by you and you do not see me because I have covered myself in glory. I go to prophetic meetings. I go to meetings where the prophets and they are prophesying. And I get there and I feel like, siski leo kwekelewa mkono. Siski duwa kwekelewa mkono. And I find expression in the spirit. And that person comes and anakuja na pita na nyangalia na pita na nyangalia, but anashindwa kuniombea. We went to another church. Tukaitwa youth wakuja hapo mbele waombewe na couples walikuwa. Nikaangalia hao couples, nikawapima hivi, nikaona hapana. Nika feel tu niko levels above. Si maringo. I just felt like that. Na nikasema leo hakuna mtu ananiombea, hakuna mtu anaguza kichwa yangu. Ule aligeti boldness ya kuja kuniombea alinishika mikono. I found expression in the spirit and I healed myself. There was no word that could be spoken to me because what they could see, what they could, they found a spiritual blindness. Levels. We went to a case and another boy felt like he needed to pray for me. Akakuja kusema nataka kuniombea, nikamwambia sawa. Tukashikana mikono, kaanza kuniombea. He was slain. Yes, he was slain. Because I have discovered that because I wear the spirit, I find an expression in the spirit that even the good,
yes,
that even the good that is not meant to come to me. You know, the devil is so tricky. He uses even good to get you. Even the good that is not meant to be mine does not get me because I find expression in the spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I was showing some people here, some people I trained in high school after I finished college. So I trained them in high school. I was a drama teacher. That's what I was a drama teacher. And I look at them, they and they look older. They look way older. They look like my uncle. Sorry. People get shocked when they hear how old I am. No. It's finding expression in the spirit. We are not aging. I look at my dad, and some people he has been their best man. He has been their best man. Are you okay? Some people he has been their best man. And they come and they stand here. Some people he has been their best man, he's like 10-15 years older than them. But people, men have found expression in the spirit that prohibits hair from falling from their heads. Can I go on?
Yes.
Can I go on?
Yeah.
Okay. I just to go a little bit deeper. We are the body of Christ. Okay? We are the body of Christ. And because we are the body of Christ, we must be structured like the body of Christ. We must be structured like the body of Christ. Ephesians 4 says, and when he ascended, he gave gifts unto men. Let's go to Ephesians 4. Can you stand up, Sarah? Stand up. God is saying he's remembering you. He's remembering you. It's like 8 years. 8 years, almost 8 years ago, when things were going so well for you, you had your life planned out and your life was going so well. And it's been like, for the last 8 years or so, you literally don't understand where you are. You literally don't know. In fact, the picture I've seen you standing in bare land that has, like, you in the middle of the ocean. Well, I know. Oceans. You're in the middle of the ocean, and you cannot tell north, east, south because it's just blue. Those years have been have been where you cannot tell what you are doing, you cannot tell what you want to do, you cannot tell who you are, you can never tell anything about, but God is remembering you. So right now, in the name of Jesus, we do not only restore the 8 years that have been taken away from you, the 8 years of vision, but we give you double in the name of Jesus Christ. That the remembrance of God will bring back the shine on your face.
Amen.
Ephesians 4. Guys, we're not ready for what God is about. Hey, if you think you have an idea, go back and I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called, with lowliness, gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep unity, the unity of the Spirit, in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you are called in one hope of your calling. Amen. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. You understand what he's saying? You understand what he's saying? What he's basically saying, what Paul is basically saying, he's bringing a picture of where we fit in the body. He's bringing a picture, he's bringing us to the attention of the calling that we have received. Come on, guys, I need your attention. You have to follow through. I need your attention. Okay? He's bringing you to the attention of what you've been called to, of who you've been called to. Okay? All right? But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Meaning that Christ gave out gifts. Are you ready?
Yes,
I was just checking something. The English there says Christ, and then it has an apostrophe, meaning there is ownership of the gift. It does not say grace was given according to the gift of Christ. The gift of Christ is the gift. The gift of Christ is the gift in that instance. But here it says grace was given according to the measure of Christ owning the gift. So Christ gave gifts. So according to the gift that you were given, grace was given. According to the gift that you were given, grace was
given.
So every gift of Christ comes with
grace.
Every gift of Christ comes with
grace.
Okay, we go down and we note the gifts. What were the gifts? And he gave some to me. He gave some to me.
Prophets.
He gave some to me.
Teachers.
He gave some to me.
Evangelists.
And he gave some to me.
Teachers.
So when Christ was ascending, it says he filled all things with himself. And he gave men gifts. So plants were filled, stones were filled, animals were filled, marrow was filled, tamak was filled, oil was filled, gold was filled. Everything was filled with himself. But he gave men gifts. So some he made them apostles. Some he made them prophets. Some he made them pastors. Some he made them teachers. Some he made them evangelists. And to every apostle, grace was given according to the measure of the gift. To every prophet, grace was given according to the measure of the gift. And it goes on and on. That means that every gift carries a measure. And if every gift carries a measure, it means that every gift has a limit. So if the measure of the apostolic is this, then here they cannot operate. If the measure of the prophetic is this, then here they cannot operate. If the measure of the pastors is this, then here they cannot operate. But every measure put together brings a completeness. I was teaching on Saturday on church structure, and I was saying we need to institutionalize the fivefold ministries in our church, where you go to the PCA and you find the office of the apostle, the office of a pastor, the office of a prophet. Now, when you have an office, I'm a prophet, and I've got about 15, when it's a bit chaotic because the prophetic is weird and chaotic. Yeah? You go to the office of apostles, no, but a few remember, because there are 15 apostles, there are 15 prophets in that church. This is a local church. We need to institutionalize those things. They need to be part of our institutions. Why? Because when the gifts of Christ come together, then the body comes together. When the apostles stand up to take their part, the prophets their part, without maligning the apostles and vice versa, the body comes together. The body comes together. The body is built. The fivefold ministries are to build the body. It's just down there. It says for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for bringing us to the stature of Christ, one perfect man. We're talking about reunion with the
Spirit.
Reunion with the Spirit. So, the fivefold work is to build the body. The body of Christ must be built by apostles, pastors, prophets. You are an apostle, you are a prophet, you are a pastor. You don't need to preach. We also need to take the fivefold ministries into the areas of our working. We need to have a lawyer apostle, a lawyer prophet, a lawyer pastor, a lawyer teacher, doctor, nini, a student apostle, a student. You know Babu Owino has the apostolic in him. That's why he could become president for all those years. Mwai Kibaki was just a pastor. That's why we ona. But they akuwa na nyamaza, akuwa na zogo, akuwa na sibuana. You get what I'm saying? Hey, yeah, kwa kwa ya, upasta yikuwe na mtu, ina mbeba. Rao is our apostle, isn't it? I see. So, the fivefold builds the body, because there needs to be a body that can relate with the Spirit. But the body cannot have life, because life is not in the jurisdiction of the fivefold. Every church that has a good relationship with the fivefold ministry is built so well. Can I give you examples?
Yes.
Though they don't know it, the Anglican Church, the AIC Church, the PCA, Izo Madini, they have very good relationship with the fivefold ministries. That's why their institutions are so well built. They do not have an understanding, it just happens by default. But there is no life. It is the Spirit that quickens the body. The Pentecostal flagship churches, we have a relationship with the Spirit, but we have no relationship with the Bible. So we have life, we have miracles, we have everything. But where the balance of the body it comes into play, we miss it. And everybody that is not well built cannot withstand the Spirit. Everybody that is not well built cannot withstand the Spirit. And once the Spirit comes in, there is chaos because the body is not well built. Rona, come. Vitu zinaanza kuhave. Kidogo, kidogo, even ni mabifagio tumeanza kununua. The body is not well built. Do you know life kills? Life kills. Every time there is no capacity. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Every time the body has no capacity to hold life, death happens. That's how people die. The body gets tired. You get into an accident, your body is shattered completely. The body does not have capacity to hold life. And life cannot find expression in a shattered body. It goes and you die. So everywhere where the fivefold is not in operation, meaning there is no building to the stature of the perfect man, and the Spirit begins to come, give them 2 months, give them 2 years, death. They die. That's why there is need for us to sit down under the teaching of the fivefold, so that when the Spirit comes and the Spirit continually comes, there is a balance. The Spirit comes, gives life, the body is quickened, and then the apostolic comes in, it shapes, the prophetic comes in, it points out, the pastoral comes in, it takes care, the evangelistic comes in, introducing us to realms and dimensions. Let me tell you again, I'll repeat this. The evangelistic is not for the sinners. It's the office of the evangelist. It's for the equipping of the saints. It's not for soul winning. Soul winning is the work of every Christian. It's not an evangelistic work to win souls. It's the work of the body to win souls. The evangelistic edifies the body. It edifies the saints. It brings the saints into stature that they become light and they can win souls. We've turned evangelists to become crusade shouters. They are not. And they have the notion that they cannot operate in the confines of the church. At your 16-year-old. Read your scripture. He gave gifts to men, some apostles, some pastors, some prophets, some evangelists, some teachers, for the edifying of the saints. Uko nje hakuna saints? Hakuna saints uko nje? Awako, they're not there. There are so many people who require very great miracles. Great miracles that lie in the office of the evangelist, in the church, so that when those miracles come, they become light to those people who are not saved, and then they can be born again. Ati wewe unachua kanisa itoshi sisi ni huko nje. Au unajua mimi ni mwinjilisti kazi yangu ni kuhubiria wewe ndani. I do you even read your Bible? It's not in scripture. It's not. You're supposed to edify the saints. You're supposed to bring the saints to the stature of Christ, the perfect man as an evangelist. And then the saints will bring the souls to Christ. Amen. This is why at your meeting we're evangelistic. Sasa mimi nataka nitengeneze crusade mimi evangelistic. First, begin to evangelize in church, because there is so much emptiness in that office as regards the building of the saints. There's so much, it's not understood. Remember Ezekiel? What do you see in the valley? Ezekiel 37. Dry bones. Speak to them. And he spoke. And the bones came together. The sinews came together. The flesh came together. But the bodies were... And then he was told, now command the wind. And when the wind came, the wind is the Spirit of God, the bodies became life. And they formed a mighty army, because the body requires the Spirit. Yes. The fivefold is not to bring power. Yes. The fivefold is not for power, for edifying the body. The Spirit is for power. Ah, it's burning. It's burning my heart. The fivefold is to build us. And when we build a body that can stand, when we build a body that can stand, then the Spirit sees a body. And when the Spirit sees the body, it's attracted to the body and comes rest on the shoulders. And then life. The reason the church is like this, the reason we need to correct this, is because we have no life. And where there is life, there is no fivefold. Body and Spirit, relationship. None works without the other. None works without the other. Let me show you one more thing, and then I think we can go. Let's go to Romans 8. Remember the time when Jesus was baptized? He was baptized, and then he went into the water, and when he came out, the Spirit in the form of a dove came and rested on his shoulder, okay? Remember that story? That's a prophetic illustration. That's a prophetic illustration in Romans 8. Let's go. Because the baptism is a significance of death and resurrection. When you are baptized, we say you die and you rise with Christ. And at that time, the Spirit came. It was a prophetic illustration. Let's go. Let's read Romans 8. And it says, and now that Spirit, find that scripture. If the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Can we read from 9?
You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit of God lives in you.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, mm-hmm. does not belong to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin,
mm-hmm.
yet your spirit is alive because mm-hmm. of righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you,
mm-hmm.
he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies.
Okay, so it's up over in the same way your body is dead. But your spirit is alive because of sin. So if your spirit is alive and you live in Christ, apa inakuja inakansolia apa tu. So your body is no longer dead, because that spirit that lives in you, that raised Christ from the dead, will quicken the body that is dead. None. So if you are in Christ, your body is dead. But your body dies until the Spirit comes, and then the mortal is. So you see, Jesus is baptized. When he's baptized, he comes out. He dies, he resurrects, and when he resurrects, the Spirit comes and rests on the shoulder. And from that point, Christ goes to pray. He says, when the Spirit of God comes, you shall receive power. So Christ did not go to fast and pray and then came with power. Christ received power and then went to the wilderness first and came. Let me show you another example. John and Peter, they are walking into their beautiful gate, and then they meet a cripple. They did not tell him, what are you doing here? To catch up, it's up here, I have to go there to go. No. So when the body is built, when the fivefold does its work, the body is built to the stature of Christ. And now the Spirit comes in and gives life. At that point, Jesus is resurrected. Jesus dies and resurrects as a prophetic illustration. It's the same scripture. I see the same scripture in Romans 8. That if that same spirit that lives in, that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it is that same spirit that landed on Jesus when he died and is resurrected. That is a prophetic illustration for us as the church. That we need to know that our relationship with Christ, the reunion that we are calling for with the Holy Spirit, is the one that gives us life. And then it goes ahead to say, you see, when the fivefold does its work, you become a son. The fivefold does its work and you become a son. Because the work of the fivefold is to bring us to the stature of Christ, a perfect man, the Son of God. So when the fivefold does its work, you become a Christ. And creation is awaiting the manifestation of the sons of God. Basically, creation awaits for you to begin to understand the gift that you have been given by Christ and operate in the measure of the gift of Christ, because it's that gift that brings you to sonship. So we will not manifest as sons because we pray so much. We will not manifest as sons because we are filled with the Spirit. We will manifest as sons when we are responding to the call, to the gift, the apostolic, the prophetic, the teaching, the pastoral, the evangelistic that is in you. And now creation will begin to receive of the manifestation. And this is the symbiotic relationship. Once you become a son, then the Spirit lands on your shoulder. And the heavens open up. And God says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen. It says creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God, because creation was blessed in futility, not intentionally, but by the hope of him who blessed it in futility. This is the thing. God himself decided that there be cancer. Okay? God himself decided that there be anthrax, COVID-19, blah, 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 blah. So that creation can be in a futility, can be in a state of futility. Not that the creation wanted to be sick. Not that your body wanted to be sick. Not that the rivers wanted to break their banks and kill people. Not that the land wanted to have mudslides. But it was placed like that so that you can manifest and free it. God hopes. God sits and hopes. Can we read that scripture? So that you see it.
Verse 4, I consider the suffering, 19, for the earnest expectation of the children of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope.
Find a simpler verse. In India,
for the earnest expectation of creation, oh, not you. For the entire universe is standing on tiptoe, yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. For against its will, the universe itself had to endure the empty futility resulting from the consequence of human sin. But now, with eager expectation, all creation longs for the freedom of its slavery to decay, and to the experience with us. From its slavery to decay, and to experience with us the wonderful freedom coming to God's children.
So, it wasn't willingly. It was just so that you this scripture
na soma alafu naona kama God alikuwa katu create alafu akona akakuwa akona I'm now thinking progressively as a man. Aum God ataanguka lakini sasa ataanguka wacha tu nisi wipe out creation ni wacha tu niache dhambi iendelee. Like Mungu alikaa hivi akatengeneza mtu alikuwa perfect. But akaona huyu mtu tu atatenda dhambi. Alafu akasema badala ni muwe mtengeneze mwingine mwenye atakuwa sawa, wacha tu dhambi iendelee ndio kuwe na watu watakuja watoke kwa hiyo dhambi. Alafu waokoe kila kitu. Like it's a better story. It's a better story than alikuja akafanya vibaya nikamtoa nikaeka mwingine akafanya vibaya nikamtoa nikaeka mwingine. Wacha akuje afanye vibaya alafu nimwambie manze kuna jinsi ya kurudi mali na staili kukua. And then ule mwenye atarudi begins to speak freedom to the things that were put in consequence. Like there's a Oh my God. Kuna mdudu inapigwa ngwa dawa. Kama tik. Inapigwa dawa inakufa. Kwa sababu kuna mtu anafanya dhambi. It's just suffering the consequences. Kuna ngombe sahii ina sneeze iko na typhoid. Juu kuna mtu anafanya dhambi. Na hiyo ngombe iko ikifanya inalia inasema Wewe unafanya nikuwe hapa, tafadhali, come to sonship so that I can experience life without hope. So kila time unasikia mbona, na kumbuka, they are just addressing you. I told you tongues are a language that somebody must hear.
Yeah.
All this is possible. Before this, we taught the church of how important the spirit is. But we never taught the church of how important we are in the equation of the spirit. So revival comes and revival goes. Because the body is not conditionally and continually stationed to occupy and take the expression of the spirit. So the spirit comes in life, but it becomes so much because the body is weak. And when the body is weak, the spirit leaves and death happens. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know where we'll go from here next week. But I believe God in His word because He said that every Monday will have an experience that is different. We'll have no need to recall of the previous experiences. But these experiences that we are having learning the word must become expressed. Because the word is spirit. This word that is spoken to you is not just word to bring your knowledge, to tickle the fancy of your mind. It is to bring life. And so that you can become an expression of this word. So that this spirit that is the word can find an expression in you. And you find an expression in the spirit. You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? Come on, stand up. I want you to pray, God, let me find expression in the spirit. Just as you have found expression in the physical movie, let me find expression in the spirit. Let me find expression in the spirit.